You ready?
Okay.
My name is Bob, and I'm an extremely grateful member of Sex and Porn Addicts Anonymous.
I'm Bob.
And I'd like to welcome a newcomer here, who's here at its third meeting. And I was toying around with the idea of making this a, what do you say to the newcomer, or just sharing experience, strength, and hope, so maybe I can blend the two together. Let me tell you what's been going on over the last week for me. Over the last 72 hours, my father-in-law, who's like 94 years old, got kicked out of the living facility that he was at because he was groping some lady. You know, this is my wife's father. You know, and I was really supportive of her. I was telling her, well, and at any rate, we worked through it all. So he's moving from Davis down here, and we were getting the last-minute stuff, done today. In the meanwhile, I was working also. Now, in the midst of all that, 2 weeks ago when I went up to, when I flipped to Sacramento, I got something in my eye, and my eye turned bright red. And I've got cornea transplants in both my left and my right eye, and I lost the cornea transplant in my right eye. So I went blind, and you wouldn't believe what I do for a living. But this is not the right time for that. And here's the miracle of the program. The miracle of the program is that if I keep showing up to these meetings, I keep talking about it. I can talk to my wife. I can talk about it in here. I'm not flipping out or anything. I'm just going to the doctor. Last week I went to the doctor every day, and all they were trying to do was save the eye. What's that got to do with the program? Try everything. You know, because in the old days, I would act out over stuff like this. I would have to use porn. I would have to use masturbation. I would have to see a hooker. I would have to do something so I wouldn't have to feel the pain in my own life. So this is like totally different, life is painful sometimes. And the more that I can walk through this stuff, the more that I can show up. Do you know, I'm exhausted today. But you know why I showed up? I was praying for a newcomer. You showed up, of all the things. So, let's start off. So what we do here is we share what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. And the reason that we share in that manner is because that way we can remember who we are. In the book it says, remember that we deal with our sexual addiction, cunning, baffling, and powerful. And what I was taught was the most important word in that sentence is remember. The more I tell you exactly who I am, or who I was and what I am now, the more I remember what it was really like. Because I don't believe the same things that other people believe. Here's what I believe. I believe that I'm a sex addict. I believe that I'm a porn addict. But here's what this program teaches me. What this program teaches me is that if I put my entire life in my higher power's hands, that life gets transformed. And no matter what you've done, no matter how far down you actually went, to a newcomer, it's extremely useful. Because to a newcomer, once you show up to a meeting like this, you're not alone. Because when I started off early in life, I don't know if you ever saw that movie, A Beautiful Mind. It's about a guy with schizophrenia. It's about a guy who swears like life is going on over here and swears that life is, all these things are going on in his life, except they're not going on at all. When I go into my world, my sex addiction world, my porn world, and everything else, I'm in like a different planet. And that means that I'm not with everybody else. And I've been like that since I've had memory. I mean, I was like that way before I looked at anything. But when I started looking at porn, when I started, using masturbation, and I didn't just use masturbation. I mean, I was a habitual user. One of my friends in the program said, somebody was talking about chronic masturbation or habitual masturbation. And my friend looked at me and he said, is there any other kind? You know, that's us. And what we can do is we can laugh at each other. We just come out in the open and we say, here's who I am. You know? And if I can do that without any hesitation, just telling you, look, here's what my life really used to look like. Masturbating every day, you know, like going to see hookers. The hookers were my best friends, you know. Like after a while, you know, I just thought, well, yeah, you know, this totally works. You know, I had a fiance in college. You know what? She didn't know me from Adam. You know why? It's because I had all the walls up and I never came out. I pretended like I was everybody else. I went through the motions like everybody else, except for one thing. I couldn't get intimacy because I wouldn't come out. And so, you know, with all of that, my life just kept on going right into the ditch. When I graduated from college, I went into my profession, and you would think, okay, yeah, it's going to happen now, except for one thing. When I got a job, you know, in my profession, I got fired after a year because I was caught in the bathroom with this guy who was going to make partner. I went over to his house for a party, and I got caught with his wife's brother's fiance. Yeah, and so that got out in the firm. So at any rate, because I was acting out with her. Let me be very clear about that. So, and it just all, you know, started going way downhill from there. You know, and I just considered it a way of life. You know, when, you know, the porn was always there. And it took, it was just different for me. You know, some people can take porn and put it down. Not me. I made movies inside of my head. And so whether I was with somebody or I wasn't with somebody, the movies were always going. I got like a group of our guys to take an inventory of how much time was actually spent on acting out, how much time was on, you know, the planning on the acting out, and how much time was actually spent on the shame after the acting out and everything else. You know, and we had 12 people at this meeting on Saturday morning, you know, at our office up north. The average percentage was 90% of the day right before we all came in. 90%. You know, that's how much time we actually devoted, and I devoted, to this disease. So we share what it was like, and then what happened, and what it's like now. The what happened part was that my wife caught me. And when she caught me, I mean, she caught me red-handed, and I was still trying to lie my way through. Now, that didn't really happen. You know, all this stuff, except that by this time, I mean, I was really in really bad shape. And so I had to start showing up to meetings. And, boy, I'll tell you, it was really, really hard, you know, to show up to meetings and really come to terms with, this is really who I am. You know, I'm a sex addict. You know, most people, you know, when you make partner in a firm, most people don't automatically go to, well, partner share things. Well, I'll share the guy's wife. You know, that's the way that that I reacted to everything, because everything was sexual. Everything was, you know, all about, you know, making sure that my sexual needs were met. When I came into this program, the first thing I had to do was dry out. And that was like climbing the walls, because, I mean, it was, I didn't realize how powerful this drug was, you know, inside of me. So my wife, when newcomers come in, always tells, you know, the spouses that, you know, that your husband's going to look worse when he starts to get better. He's not going to look better, and he's going to be pretty grumpy, you know, and that's the way it was for me. You know, I had to come into these meetings because I just needed some type of support, and even inside of these meetings, I didn't find it at first. What I had to do is I had to just keep searching out. I had 2 weeks worth of sobriety, and somebody in a meeting that was in another fellowship said that they could masturbate safely. And I had a slip that night because I thought, well, me too, you know, except that wasn't part of what I could actually do. And I knew it. And so what I needed to do was just completely dry out. I found another fellowship. And then inside of that fellowship, what I was really given were, I was really given some tools, you know, tools to actually work with. I mean, not rocket science tools, but just basic tools called 12 steps, you know. Like, and I had some people that, you know, just really taught me basic things. You know, they taught me things like, look, if you want to make it in this program, you got to take responsibility for everything in your life, and you got to give up the self-pity, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, if, you know, my old sponsor in another program's sponsor, you know, they're both from New York, and Rich, who was, the, you know, my sponsored sponsor, came in, and some Jesuit priest, you know, told him in AA that, he just wanted him to go over there and sit down and shut up. And if they wanted to find out how to get drunk, they'd call on him. That kind of stuff. So, you know, you hear all these things, you hear all these stories. But what I really got was I really started to get the idea that these people were there to help me in kind of a weird way. But and they did help me. They helped me with their own stuff. They helped me by just sharing their own lives. It, you know, since when do you, you know, when you really want like a spiritual, you know, like pattern, you know, this is a spiritual program. You know, therapy is great. And therapy is really good over here, you know, for therapy. This is a spiritual program. Inside this program, what we're taught is we're taught to do things that we would not normally do. So we show up to meetings and we hear all kinds of stuff. I heard a story about a guy that showed up to a meeting and he had 20 years of AA sobriety. And just showed up to a meeting, and in the middle of the meeting, he said, you know what, I just wanted to hear you guys talk. And that way you could remind me to pray. Because my, and pray for the guy that just ran over my daughter. It was a DUI. You know, you hear stories like that, and you think to yourself, I can do this. I can do this one day at a time. Just exactly like John was talking about. One day, and that's all I got to do. I got to really put down the drug. And when I really put down that drug, here's what ends up happening. And the drug is that compulsive, you know, sexuality that goes off in our heads. In the old days, we used to call it lust. You know, you can call it a whole lot of different things, but it's when the porn starts to go off. It's when all these stuff starts to go off in our brain and we pray instead. You know, we pray and just thank God from the bottom of our hearts for keeping me sober today. That's what I pray for. And that I don't have to throw my life, you know, down some toilet today. You know, we do different things. The most spiritual thing that I was told that sometimes that you could do is take your own inventory. You realize that's not what you learn other places, but that's what we learn here. You know, I'm not going to change you or anybody else. What I'm going to do is I'm going to try to carry a message to you, and that way I can remember what the heck I'm supposed to be doing here. So, what it was like, what happened, and what it's like now. I get choked up when I share this, but I'm going to share it anyway. A couple of weeks ago, my wife told me, I can't even believe how happy I am. I can't even believe how I could never believe that I could be this happy. And I went straight to, with me? Really? But we've had a great time. We've been married, it's coming up on 11 years. You know, and we've had a great time all this time. And I've opened up with her about so many things. I've opened up with her about fear, about, you know, the pain. I wouldn't do it before. You know, when I was 4 years old, I got beat up in kindergarten. These four guys jumped me, and they held me down and beat the daylights out of me. And I didn't react normally. A normal reaction would have been to go to a teacher or to go to somebody and ask for help. Even at 4 years old, I knew nobody was going to help me. And all I went to was man, school's going to be hard. I better get prepared tomorrow. That's what I did. Self-reliance only took me so far. It brought me right into these rooms, as a matter of fact. So to be able to share with people, my wife's been taking me to the doctor's appointments every day. You know, and she, you know, like, and you know, she's been right there, and I asked her to help me, and I couldn't do that before. This addiction, from what I'm told, we have a heck of a time bonding. And do you know what happens inside of our meetings? We bond. It's the weirdest thing. We develop intimacy skills. You know why? Because we tell the truth about ourselves. We laugh at each other, all this stuff. But we learn skills here that you wouldn't even believe. At work, we're growing at about a 40 to 50% growth rate a year. And I'm in charge of marketing. And so I think that's really going well. The relationships that I've got have been remarkably well. You know, it's just really fabulous stuff. I've had some great people that have taught me, you know, a whole lot of stuff. And so one of those guys was my old sponsor, Jess. And he cut this tape, "What do you say to the newcomer?" And you know what he said? He said, "What you got to do is, if you're a newcomer, you got to get to meetings. And you got to get to meetings because there, if you can't find God, you'll find God with skin on it." You know what I mean? You'll find people that God is speaking through inside of these meetings. And he said, "You got to get to people, your kind of people. This is us. You know, we're your friends. We do know you." You know, and so you wouldn't think so, but as soon as you said, "Well, this is who I am," you know, we all said, "Yeah, you earned that chair. Just stay put." I heard it. You know, make no mistake about it. We're right. But that's not the deal. You have to in order to really get this program, you got to get step one. And you really got to get it. Because if you don't think you have a problem, you're not going to come back. And you're not going to work the rest of this program. But if you think you've got a problem, we're here to help. And the reason that we're here to help is because that's the name of the game. If I try to help you, my life takes off. And I know that when I go home, I try to help my wife. I try to, you know, do whatever I can. And my whole life takes off. If I don't put out my hand for you, it's not the way it works. And I start getting, we're selfish and we're self-centered. Let me tell you something I learned along the way. Yes, we're sex addicts. Yes, we're porn addicts. But the thing that we're really addicted to is we're addicted to ourselves. We're selfish and we're self-centered. And because of that, when we do service, when we get outside of ourselves, that's AA principle, that's 12-step principle, and that's why I showed up tonight. Because when I show up, my eye doesn't hurt. When I show up, I can almost see you out of my right eye. That's kind of a little joke there. You know, and so I wish you the very best. And I think that's, you know, more than 15 minutes, which I was allotted. And so thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
Thanks, Bob.